share on the subject of service, the joy of service, because the purpose of salvation, God paid a price in the Old Testament to use his great power, miracle, lead the 2 million chosen people, the Israels, out of Egypt to the promised land. In the statement God made to Moses and also asked him to witness to Pharaoh was to declare the reason God did that powerful deeds was to serve him. So today we will continue this lesson 10. Lesson 11, we want to see the context of this service. In other words, when we talk about serving God, many people have different ideas. You look at today's Christianity, you will see many, many call serving God in all kinds of different ministries, some publishing, some broadcasting, some on the internet, and some in the mission field, so on and so forth, many, many faucets. And I don't know, are you on some kind of mailing list? And every year you will receive different organizations, Christian organizations, mail you tons of mails to ask for donations, right? So you are very perplexed which one to support, so on and so forth. All in the name of God. So that's the reality we see in our daily life. And so how can you differentiate among all these so-called Christian works, service to God? What is the one has the true meaning of service and true value to God? In other words, how God see this multi-facets, multi-channels of so-called serving God? And then you come to a very, very basic question. How do we define service? It's not important. How God define service, that's what counts. Agree? Because we are only servants. If we define, this is the way I serve, that's you say. How about the master? You should listen to the master, the king, what he said about service. So last week, I don't know whether you still recall, in Romans chapter 12, we share on the first two verses in terms of this is your living sacrifice, this is holy and acceptable, this is your reasonable service to God, or this is your spiritual worship to God. That's the first two verses talking about make a living sacrifice lifestyle. But after that, that's where we will pay more attention. We also mentioned last week that the gifts, Holy Spirit give gifts, right? And from verse 3 onward, chapter 12, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ with though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the other. So you will see that the picture is, in verse 1, we have each one have a body, and then we live a living sacrifice. So this body is offered to God. So many, then we become many members, right? And these members, you will see God has a focus. All these different members, He focus on one thing. What is the focus? Yes, but there is a particular portion of Christ. He said, a body. We have many bodies, plural number. And then when He come to the focus, you will see, turn from bodies to one body, right? From plural to singular. That's the focus. In other words, when God says service, He focuses on one thing. That is His body. Singular number. We are all different members to one another. And then through Him, He put all these different services into one body. Connect to Christ, the head. So that's the picture we should see. When we talk about this one body, use another term. That's the church, right? So today, our subject is knowing the church. And today, before you come here, if people meet you or your family member ask you, where are you going? How do you answer? Church. See? We go to church. That's very natural. You don't ever really think second thought. People ask you, where are you going? You say, I go to church. So what does it mean when you answer that? It means you go to a place called church, right? But is that the true meaning in the Bible concerning church? It's not. Church has different connotation in the Bible, in the New Testament. It's totally different from today's definition. Today's definition, when you said church, either mean a place, a building, right? This is what we call church. Yeah. That's why I always tell people, don't call this church. If you know the true meaning of church, you can only call this place fellowship center. That's why outside we have a sign that this is fellowship center, right? We don't call this church. But somehow it's difficult to change this basic. Somehow you get it from the world. This is the world definition. World will say, this building is church. You go to any new town, you drive through the street, and how can you tell which one is the church? Very easy. You just look. Church has a special what? Shape. Right? Has a high tower, and on the top of the tower, you will see a cross. And then you look at that building, it will naturally say, look, that's a church. Doesn't matter where you are, in Europe, in China, or in United States, you see the same thing. Everyone expressing that way. You know, that's called misconception. When the definition change, you have a misconcept, and then the whole thing will lead you into a wrong result. So the definition is really, really important, because when you have different meaning to a word, then you talk about this, actually you mean that. Totally. So we have to return to the original. I remember about 15 some plus minus years ago in our church, we You know, if you go to the dictionary, you check the Greek word, ecclesia, this Greek word, has a strong concordance number. Anyone remember? 1577. That's the Greek strong concordance number, 1577. So one time before we have the first our web address, it was 1577. Somehow nobody understand what is 1577, so we changed to ECCC. But the thing is, we have to really find out the true meaning of church. Okay, then you go to the original. Who was the first person used this word? Jesus. No one else in the New Testament used this word at all until when Jesus announced it. So let's read it, the origin, the first time Bible mentioned this word, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This is how Jesus defined church in the first time. Let's read from verse 13 through 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others says Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." This is the church word. See? The first time. "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And then the second time, you go to chapter 18. Chapter 16 is the first mention of this word, church. Second time, you go to verse 18, we read from verse 15 to 20. "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two other alone, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it" what? "To the church." So there is church term. "And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose or on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done on them, for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So in this context, that's the second time Jesus mentioned church. What's the difference between chapter 16 and chapter 18? Chapter 16, in the first mention, Jesus basically tried to tell us the definition of church. Let's think about it. That was a very special occasion. Jesus brought 12 disciples all the way to a very special place called, what's the place? Caesarea of Philippi. If you go to your map in the Bible in the back, you will see this place is in the northern part of Galilee. And you will see a lake, the lake of, or they call, it's not a lake, called a sea. That's Sea of Galilee. It's a big lake, fresh water, very beautiful. If you have opportunity to tour that place, you have to go there, at least you eat Peter's fish. It's a like our Lake Washington, it's a even bigger, very big freshwater lake. And then go further north, there you will see a mountain in the map indicate as Mount Hermon. And I visit that place. That is today's famous struggle between Syria and Israel. That piece of real estate is called Golden Height. Chinese translate as Gelan Gao Di. Okay, it's a high plateau. And so this place, Philippi, right on that plateau. Okay, so if you look southbound, you stand on the plateau. We have a plateau here, right? You stand on the plateau, look down. What do you see here? Lake Sammamish, right? And then furthermore, you see Lake Washington. Over there, in the Golden Height, you stand on the plateau, you look down, you see Sea of Galilee, and the plan of the Galilee plan. Beautiful view. And you turn around, look northbound. That's Mount Hermon, just like here. You look southbound, you see what's mountain? Rainier. You see? It's a white head, green mountain. Beautiful scenery. And Jesus one day did that. At that time, no highway, no cars, just walk. 12 disciples, he just walked all the way to this plateau and then sat down and then carry a conversation. This is called Q&A. What is the question? Two questions. First question Jesus asked, how other people call me or think about me? Who am I? And some say, you are Elijah, you are Jeremiah, you are one of the prophets. Jesus has no comment because none of those are correct. That's people's opinion. And then ask second question, you, 12, who am I? Right? And Peter immediately answered. He said, you are the Messiah, or the Christ, the Son of living God. And Jesus immediately responded, said, blessed you are, son of Bajona. What you just said is not revealed by human flesh, but revealed by whom? Father in heaven. So in other words, that is not from human being. That is a direct revelation from the Heavenly Father regarding what? Who is Jesus? Right? Jesus asked, who am I? And Peter immediately responded, this is the revelation from the Father. you are the Christ, the Son of living God. And then by the end of the conversation, what's the ending of this paragraph? Don't tell anybody. Right? Jesus, don't tell anybody. So that's a very secret revelation. Right? But it's crucial in terms of what is the church. Got it? If you want to answer what is the church, then you have to answer who is Jesus. This is bind together. These two questions go hand in hand. You cannot separate them. If you ask who is the what is the church, you have to ask who is Jesus. If you know who is Jesus, and then you know the church. Got it? So this is the whole context, very, very important. If you read many, many exposition of Bibles, most of them, I don't see they interpret correctly this paragraph. They always go to, say, the word ecclesia. Say, oh, Greek means gathering. So church means gathering of Christians. That means church. No, that's not how Jesus defined. When Jesus defined ecclesia, the church, he defined as, who am I? Got it? And then he said, who will build the church? One time I met a brother in Zhejiang. He in a meeting, he will, you know, we chat, and he stood up and he said, "I am who I am who." And then he said, "Oh, I'm very thankful. Lord used me to build 5 churches this year. 5 churches." So I immediately refute him. I said, "I'm sorry, brother. You cannot build 5 churches for Jesus." He looked at me. "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Jesus said, who can build my church?" Jesus said, "I will build my church." In other words, building the church cannot mean that you... When he said, "I build 5 churches," what does he mean? He paid the money, build 5 church buildings. That's what he means. Okay? So he said, I build in Yuyao, I build in Suzhou, whatever. You know, he built 5 buildings. That's why he said, I build 5 churches. So when you have wrong definition, you get wrong message. Got it? So you have to be very, very careful. When you want to talk about church, you want to define what do you mean by church first. Because when you say this and other people think that, it's totally different. Like another problem. In China, you have 2 categories of church. One is house church. The other one is the 3 self, also called church, right? And then everybody said, we are Christians. So, you know, 3 self have Christians and house church has Christians, so they are all brothers and sisters, they are all one. But wait a minute, can you call 3 self church, quote, a real church? So now you have to be very, very careful. Same thing in outside of China, in United States, in any place. People has different definition of the wording. So, in Jesus' definition, it's very clear. Who built the church? He said, "I will. I will build my church on this rock." Okay. Then, the next question is, when Jesus said, "I will build my church," means he will build it, right? He is the builder. Number 2, where he built the church? On this rock. All right, then how do you define rock? Right? Catholic church. Roman Catholic define rock is Peter. That's how, based on this text, they define rock on Peter. What is the problem? If Peter is the real answer, you know, the first big church building Roman Catholic built is in Rome. Have you ever visited Rome? You will see a huge building, gigantic, called St. Peter's Cathedral, or they have a special name for that. They call that church because Peter was the rock. Read through it. If that's the case, you will see this rock church built upon him has a big problem. Rock simply means what? Rock. It's unshakable. You build something, you want to build on a solid rock. Cannot be shaken. If rock is shake, this building somehow will collapse. That's, we all know that. Okay. If Peter is the rock, church built upon Peter, what happened about 5 minutes later after this conversation? In this context, you will see Peter was very happy because Jesus really exalted him, said, "Blessed are you, son of Jonah. You have received a revelation from the Heavenly Father." So he was really big shot, right? I have a revelation. Jesus said, "I'm blessed. So I'm really different from all you 11 other stupid guys. I'm totally different." But the next minute, Jesus, if you read the text, you will see, rebuke him. "Satan, go behind me. You are my stumbling block." See, 1 minute he is in heaven. Next minute, "Satan, go behind me." He become in hell, right? So how can you be a rock with such a huge difference? 1 minute in heaven, the other minute in hell. How can you build something with this kind of stability or instability? So I don't think the Catholic interpretation is correct. Then what is the correct interpretation based on this context? What is the rock Jesus referring to? Why he was called, "You are blessed," because he received an answer not revealed by man, but by the Heavenly Father. What is the revelation concerning who is Jesus? Got it? So that revelation directly from the Heavenly Father to Peter, that's the blessing portion, right? And Jesus said, "I will build my church on this rock." And then he get a guarantee. "This product I build, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." What does it mean? If this church I build on that rock, Satan can knock it down or not? No. Look from Genesis, Garden of Eden. As soon as God has created heaven and earth and all the angels, you see Satan come out. And then God recovered the earth from the destruction of Satan and built Garden of Eden and create Adam and Eve. What happened to Adam and Eve? A few more days, they sinned, right? So, and then from Adam and Eve, all their descendants until now, like you and me, all these 6,000 years, you will see who prevail all the time. Satan. Right? So, whatever God did throughout history, Satan always destroyed it. Right? So now when Jesus said, I will build my church, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. What does it mean? I think to me, throughout the whole Bible, this is the first time I see Jesus gave a product he built forever, victorious, forever established. Nobody can destroy it, right? So this result is better than Adam and Eve. Because Adam and Eve failed. This result better than Jewish nation. Jewish nation failed. Right? Now, New Testament time. In this New Testament time, Son of God came down. The Word become flesh. He suffered it through. Pay the price for the sin. And he resurrected from the death. And he built something on earth called the church. And he said, the gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that encouraging? If we never find this guarantee, look at today's so-called churches throughout history. We don't look ahead, just look at our own so-called ECCC. What happened to us? Many, many problems. Many, many headaches. Many, many tragedies. Right? We are only 30 years old. And we already encountered all these problems. And look outside. Same thing. Everywhere you look, as long as you see people, then you see problems, right? So we are troublemakers to God, in a sense. Whatever God built, established, we destroyed it. We destroyed it. So if you are a servant of God, in this context, you will be very, very discouraged, right? You are better off if you do something else. Make more money, have a good time, and you know, you fail, it's not your problem, it's other people's problem. But when you commit to the church, so-called, and then you will see trouble after trouble, then you are discouraged. Unless you look into what Jesus said. He gave out a very, very bold statement. I will build my church, and the gate of heaven, Hades, will not or shall not prevail against it. So that's the warranty forever. You know, you go out to buy anything, you would like to have some warranty for 1 year or, you know, 3 years, but nobody will tell you lifetime warranty. I bought a lot of things lifetime warranty. You know what happened? When I want to find them, they don't exist anymore. That's his lifetime. Right? So, it's all limited. Everything you guarantee is all limited. But when Jesus said, I will build my church, as long as he lives, his church will prevail. That's the true church. Okay? Because he said, I build it. So in other words, why we see all the failure around the globe throughout histories? Church split, church this, church that. Why? Because we have a wrong definition. Even as a building can collapse. And the other definition of church, we don't define church building as build church. We define what is a church. A group of Christians, an organization. If you have pastor, elders, deacons, a choir, then that's church. We define them. We register in the government. We say we are tax exempt entity. Okay? We register, we give a name, we have a location here. Is that real church? So, either way, if you define as a building, building will collapse one day. If you define as an organization, this group of people, somehow they will fight. They will split. So none of these are correct, the true definition of church. You have to see very, very clearly. If you define wrongly, you will end up in a wrong result, wrong conclusion. Okay? So I hope when you learn this lesson 11, you have to change your perception about what is church. Okay? Let me try it again. What is church? It's not about a building. It's not about a human organization. It is about who he is. That's the right question to ask. Before Jesus revealed to his disciples about what is church, he has to establish one question. Settled it. Who do you say I am? That is the true church. Because Jesus, I will build my church on this rock. This rock simply means what Peter received from the Heavenly Father. So it's a revelation. If you have that revelation, then you are in. If you don't have that revelation, you are out. You are not related at all. But you may be very, very religious. Got it? Today we will always say, oh, they have a beautiful church. Oh, they have 1,000 mega church, many, many peoples. Yeah, that's all defined by other definition. Very successful. Very wonderful. Humanly speaking. But you will be surprised. One day, all these people report to the judgment seat of Christ. You will see surprises. Jesus, I don't know you. Okay? Because you have defined wrongly. You misunderstand. There will be so much misunderstand by the judgment seat of Jesus. That should not be a surprise to the true Christians. All right. I hope this give you a first understanding. However, this context, this revelation does not just stop at the point we read, because Jesus said, I will give you the key. The key to where? Kingdom of heaven, right? And Jesus continues, said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, it will be loosened in heaven. Mentioned here in chapter 16, also mentioned in chapter 18, right? The same wording Jesus also mentioned in chapter 18. So in other words, when you talk about church, you will see authority. What does it mean, authority? When Jesus said, you bind on earth, you will be bound in heaven. When you loose on earth, you will be loose in heaven. That means authority. Right? What does it mean, bind and loose? What thing should be bound? What thing should be loose? What's the mission of this body, this church, in the sight of God? Why God established church or his body on earth? What is that for? Be Jesus' testimony, witness for Christ, right? in whose territory? Satan's territory, right? So if you establish something on enemy's territory, you said, Jesus is king, Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Savior, who is very happy or who is very angry? God is very happy because you proclaim his name. Who is very angry? Satan is very angry. So what will he do? He will destroy you, right? You are counter-revolution. He will kill you. That's very natural because you are doing a very dangerous work in terms of his kingdom, right? He's the prince of this world. So that's the reality. The spiritual reality is when God establish his church on earth, simply declare war to whom? To the enemy, to the Satan, right? So Satan will not rest until he destroy you. That's very real. So if Satan pay no attention to you, that means what? It's not worth it. You are my people. It doesn't matter you call what. The other day, Ming Xiong gave me a website. The website called the Church of Atheists. Originally from Britain, and now in the United States. The first this kind of church is in L.A. Only half a year old. Okay? Church of Atheists. So, they still call themselves church. See? Church. Buddhists can call themselves church. So atheists call themselves church. So everybody can call themselves church. Be careful. So Jesus said, bind, loose. What does it mean? Who should be bound? Satan and his word, right? You have to bind it. Who should be loose? Loose, yes, truth should be loose. That's true. Anything else? Or any person else? Those captives by the enemy, right? When we were sinners, we owned by whom? Satan. So now we are free because the gospel was preached. So we are set free from Satan's kingdom and move to the kingdom of God, right? So we are transferred. So this is called set free. Okay? So bound the enemy's work. Set free, set those captives. Because that's what God has interest. He wants to save people. Building, he doesn't care. Material, he doesn't care. Money, he doesn't care. He cares people. Right? So you will see church has a very, very huge challenge. This challenge is get people out from the enemy's captivity. That's one on one hand. On the other hand, you have to destroy the works of Satan. Right? So that's the work Jesus is talking about. He said, once you have this church established, then you will see you can do either bind or release. So that's authority. Right? And also, this authority is for single purpose, for spiritual battle. You are encountering this severe spiritual battle. So that's this paragraph. And then the followings, you will see, let's continue. It's not in the text we just read. We have to read a little bit more. Verse 21. Chapter 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. Look at Peter's response. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and will find it." Okay, now, you will see this context is immediately after the revelation of what is church, right? And this context, the paragraph we just read, Jesus began to reveal another thing to them. Still the same audience, 12 disciples. Jesus began to reveal to them, first time, never mentioned this before, this is the first time, right after, who am I and what is the church? Right? That's the first revelation. Who revealed that portion? We just said, Heavenly Father. Father revealed the first revelation to Peter and the other disciples. And Jesus said, "I will build my church on this." So the second revelation is the church. The first revelation is the Father concerning who is his Son. The second revelation is what is the church. Now, the third revelation. The third revelation, if never Jesus mentioned this, only stop at the first two. Do you think church is possible? Why? Yes, we will be still self-centered. The human problem, I don't care you are non-believer or believer, human problem has a basic common ingredient. That common ingredient is the reason we fail. That is selfish. Selfish. Self-centered. Self-interest. From day one. Right? So, now Jesus wants to start something new. It's a new creation in him. In him, in this new creation, has one character. Is totally opposite from the old creation. What is that? When Jesus' life revealed, what is his distinct life character? He sacrificed himself. Right? He denied himself so that he walked to the cross. So that is the new life's new character. Does it exist in any of us? No, impossible. We are. That's why the Chinese said, I don't know how to translate that, but self-centered, selfish is very natural. This is the way we were born, the way we inherit. This is in our DNA, or in our gene. But Jesus said, "Now I'm going to start a new generation or a new race." Right? He's a new man. In this new man, then you have to learn a new character. How do you learn this new character? First, you're born again. You receive a new life. Once this new life come in, that's whose life? His life. Jesus' life. This new life come in, then you have to exercise it. Because now you have two life struggle within. Your old self and new self. This two lives struggle, one against the other. All right, now, if Jesus stopped at the first two revelations, this struggle, we always find out which side win. The old one always win. right? We love ourselves. No one can deny that. You know, even you are Christian, you still love yourselves. Our prayer meeting always pray for me, mine, ours. We hardly pray, God, you or your interest. That's seldom, very seldom. So that's our nature. All right, now, this is the third portion of this revelation. Jesus immediately mentioned from that moment, you see, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed. And on the third day, he will resurrect. Basically, he mentioned all these details. You summarize together. What does it mean? He will be mistreated by all his friends, authorities, spiritual authorities, the leaders of the religious hierarchies. These people supposed to witness for Jesus because he's the Son of God. But now you suddenly discover they are the enemy of God. But they are the servants of the temple. Only, so that's a very irony, right? It's very, very strange. Supposed to be stand on the God's side, they actually stand on the opposite of God's side. And Jesus, the Son of God, came, suffered through them. So you will see, Jesus mentioned, why he mentioned this, there are several reasons, but the key reason, he wanted to show people, he denying himself. He does not have to go through this. But he said, I'm willing to go through it, because if I don't go through it, I cannot defeat the enemy. He has to pay the price. But in this process, pay the price, he demonstrates the secret of victory. The secret is by denying myself. And then he turned around. You see, because Peter's jump up. Peter, out of love of Jesus, out of protect his teacher, he says something very good, very nice. He said, don't do this. Absolutely no. You cannot go through this. I will not let you. Out of good or out of bad. Goodness. He loved his teacher. He respected Jesus, Son of God. He just announced that you are Messiah, the Son of God. So how can you be killed? How can you be mistreated by all these crazy guys? No. Absolutely no. Very nice. Jesus just turned around and said, Peter, wait a minute. Don't get so excited. Let me explain to you. Calm down. No, Jesus didn't take that stand at all. Jesus reacted even stronger than Peter. Peter rebuked Jesus. 中文没有这样翻译。 中文翻译是劝他, that's not right. English is more correct. Rebuke means 骂耶稣。 Rebuke, 责备, 因为责备这两个字。 Jesus also get excited. He said, Peter, get behind me. Because what? You are my stumbling block. So, if we love ourselves, we always protect ourselves. Right? The reason he rebuked Jesus is he tried to protect Jesus, also in the same time protect himself. Think carefully. If what Jesus said is true, he will be killed, he will die in Jerusalem. We spent 3 years follow you. I sacrificed everything. Now you say you are going to die. What happened to us? What happened to me? Huh? You ever think about that? You put yourself in Peter's shoe. I sacrificed my whole life. Follow you, 3 years. I thought you are Messiah. Now, a few seconds ago, I said you are Messiah. It's true. Now you say you're going to die. How can that be possible? Because in human mind, once you die, what happened? 树倒猢狲散, everything gone, right? Because historically, nobody will escape from death, right? But Jesus said, on the third day, I will be raised again. But that didn't register with Peter, right? You are going to die? What are you saying? So he will get excited. He said, no, no, that's impossible. This is against my self-interest and also against your interest. We are together. You can never die. 千万不能死. I follow you. Right? And later on he said, I'm willing to die for you. You don't have to die. So he's very sincere. But even that sincerity, good intention, he becomes whose tool? Satan's tool. Isn't that interesting? We thought we are going to sin become Jesus, Satan's tool. You don't have to sin. You just be good. You just be good, nice, loyalty. You still can be Satan's friend. Isn't that terrible? It's very subtle. In this spiritual battle, everything is so subtle. The difference is just one single thought, and it's not sin, it's good intention. With that good intention, Jesus didn't appreciate. He said, your good intention starts from one source. I have another thought. Your thought is what? You only concern man's interest. I concern Father's interest. That's where the difference is. Okay. In order for church really unbeatable, do you understand that word? Why church always fail? Because they are all self-interest. The true church, which cannot be prevailed by the gate of hell, is there is a group of people all live like Jesus, not like Peter. If everyone live like Peter, then someday, somehow, they would destroy themselves because you are self-interest. Unless, Jesus said, one way I can make sure my church will prevail. What is the way? He said, take up your cross, deny yourself. That's the guarantee. Once you deny yourself, even the enemy cannot do anything. Got it? So, in this chapter 16, you put these three revelations together. First, the revelation of Father. Second, the revelation of Jesus concerning the church. Third, also the revelation of Jesus concerning the way of the cross. You bind these three together. That is the true church. Agree? This is from this text. So, with this understanding, then your service will be true. And Jesus give us a guarantee. This service, not only acceptable to God, but also non-destructible. The gate of Hades cannot prevail against it. But you have to suffer. Because this is the way of suffering. Because many people will kill you. We rebuke you. We misunderstand you. We create all kinds of reasons to attack you. Right? If everybody clap their hand, great! You are in trouble. But if people began to attack you, just like attack when Jesus was there, people attack him from every direction. And finally, nail him to the cross. people said, that's what we want. And that's the way it is. By that way, the way of the cross, proclaim the true victory. True victory. All right. Now you go to chapter 18. 16 is talk about the general concept of the true definition of church. And once you come to 18, then you come to brothers to brothers. In any group, when you have imperfect men deal with another imperfect person, bound to have some trouble, right? No such a thing that people, even husband and wife have trouble. Parents and children have trouble. And in the church with so many sinners, can they have no trouble? There is only one place have no trouble. Where? Don't talk about heaven, talk about on earth. Graveyard. Graveyard is trouble free. With all that, then there is no trouble. As long as we are on this earth, while we are living, we bound to have trouble. We are famous troublemaker. Right? People always moving around. Oh, this church is no good. Let me go to another church. That would be better. Try it. It doesn't matter where you're going. You will find sinners everywhere. Self-centered Christian everywhere. So if you're not satisfied with this church, you go to another one, you will find even worse. Just like marriage. First, you think, oh, this wife or this husband is terrible. Let us divorce and let's have try another second one. You will find the second one, or third one, the fourth one, and the final conclusion, the first one is still the best. Right? So, there is no ideal church. You will never find it until you go to heaven. But what are you looking for? You are not looking for ideal church. You are looking for where our people receive the true revelation from the Father, the truth. If you find the truth will set you free. Okay? That's my lifetime conviction. Don't look for people. You look for truth. Where the truth is, there is a freedom. That's the guarantee. We have a lot of problem. That's always true. Problem is no news anymore. But unfortunately, people always look for people. Ideal people, ideal church, trouble-free, no such a thing. The reason you stay there is because you don't stay long enough. You stay long enough, every angel turn into ugly sinners. In the beginning, we all look like angels. But as time goes on, we know each other more. They find like, wow, he has this problem, she has that problem. Wow, they're terrible. And blah, 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 blah. Never end. Our church is 30 years. Now you know each other pretty good. Now you have boom, 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 all kinds of problems surfaced, all come out all these years. That's very normal. So don't look at the trouble. Don't look at the problem. Problem will always there. Look at the truth. Truth of God. All right, chapter 18. Chapter 18, you will see brothers against brothers, and there is a process to deal with it. I don't go through that. But I want to focus on the church. He said, step 1, 2, 3. When you come to step 3, even those first two steps, you cannot settle. Then you bring it to the church. In other words, in this chapter 18, the church is a place you can what? Solve problems. Right? When you have problems with your brothers or sisters, you have a final place you can settle the problem. And if that cannot still, this is the step three, still fail, then Jesus said, you can treat that person as what? Pagan. That means, you know, he is so stubborn, he will not practice deny yourself. You know, why all these problems cannot solve? Because every side will proclaim who is right. I'm right. Right? So if you continue to insist I'm right, with that attitude, nothing can be settled unless you deny yourself. Right? So in step three, you cannot, if you still refuse to deny yourself, then Jesus said you can treat him as Gentile or pagan. What does it mean? Yeah, no fellowship. You are not a brother. Because if you have this true life, you should practice deny yourself. Even you think you are right, you think you are right, still deny yourself. So that's the context of this church life. Church life is a place, practice self-denial. Okay? Only in this context you have to deny yourself. Otherwise, treat you like a pagan. Or tax collector. Tax collector is despised by the Jewish people. They are traitors. And then Jesus continued. Said, two or three gather in my name, you know, you'll be bound, you will be bound in heaven, you will lose in heaven. Same thing, repeat again. But in this context, why Jesus mentioned this context the same as chapter 16? Why he do that? There must be a reason. Because he knows. I said, this phrase, bound, loose, simply represent authority, right? Who can exercise the authority? The church. This authority is given to the church. And how do you define the minimum requirement for the church? Two or three gather in my name. So, in other words, church has a minimum two or three. Can one person constitute a church? No. Two or three simply means the church consists of multiple members. Right? Minimum is two or three. And Jesus said, I will be with you. That means two or three plus one. So how do you define this chapter 18 church? Three or four. No, two or three, the minimum, plus one is Jesus, right? And in that sense, why Jesus said, I will be with you, to even two or three? United is not the key. If two or three gather in my name, what's the key? In my name. Got it? What does it mean, in my name? Is this a magic word? Living God. Yes, he is the Son of God. Yes. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, he is the head. Right? We are only a member or connect to this head. In other words, your desire and my desire, does it matter? It doesn't matter. Your will or my will, doesn't matter. Whose will, whose desire matters? The head. Right? So when you proclaim, we gathered in His name. Simply you present to the air, to the unseen world, we are for one purpose. What's the purpose? His will. His desire. That's the reason we come together. Right? But I mentioned this atheist church. Why do they gather? They come together. They call themselves church. Right? If suddenly they want to bind or loose, if they want to do that, anything will happen. They come together. They call themselves church. But what is lacking? Head. No head. Got it? It doesn't matter how you call yourself church or not. The only thing matters is two or three come together in the name of Jesus. They acknowledge He matters. He is the head. We have only one desire. Heads will be done. Correct? If people, only two or three, like that mind, Jesus said, I will be with you. If you have thousands, but they don't have this mind, they call themselves church, you will find no Jesus. Among seven letters in the book of Revelation, do you know there is a church like that? Huh? No head church. Huh? Church of Laodicea. Knocking at the door. Hey, if any man hear me, open the door. I will go in to dine with you. Huh? Remember that letter? Laodicea church. Are they rich? Physically, they are rich. Huh? They lack of nothing. Do they give thanks to God? Of course. Oh, thank God. 10 years ago, we are all proletarian. We have nothing. Now we are all millionaires. God bless us. Thank God for that. But in reality, Jesus said, you are poor. You are naked. You are shameful. And He said, I am knocking at the door. Where is Jesus in that church? Outside. Anybody know that? Nobody. See, you can gather in this name of Jesus and celebrate. And Jesus said, I'm not there. That's New Testament. Old Testament, same thing. I just share with you in the book of Acts, chapter 7. Whose testimony? Stephen. Deacon Stephen. His testimony. He made a very strong case. He said, in the time of Moses, when they gathered together in God's name under the mountain Sinai, they built a golden image and call him Jehovah. They sacrifice, they worship, they sit down and eat and have a good time. They are so happy, but one person was not happy. Who was not happy in that gathering? God. They worship God, give thanks to God. God says, I don't know you. Isn't that strange? Old Testament time, people just play the same game. New Testament time, people play the same game. Do you think we play the same game? So, brothers and sisters, all these misconceptions about church, if God opened your eyes, you should be fed up. We all define church in human terms, in the religious term, in the traditional term, they are nonsense. You have to come through the Bible, look at how Jesus defined it, see it rightly. The Catholic defined the same context, but wrong interpretation. They become Catholic. Such a huge organization, huge, beautiful, glorious church buildings, and build such a powerful organization throughout 1,000 years, because they say, we are Orthodox church. Catholic church means Orthodox. Catholic is true church. Everything else doesn't count. But who doesn't count? So you will see, unless you see the truth, everything you do is wrong. Has no value. Because you change the meaning of service. You change the meaning of church. In the sight of God, it's all religion. Human religion. So, in here, the true church doesn't take too much. Only requires two or three. With the same attitude, with the same heart, with the same narrow way. If they walk on this, Jesus said, I will be with you. He approved it. That matters. You know, many times we say, oh, we have so few people now. It used to be have much, much more people. Really, number of people doesn't indicate too much. The reality is how many really receive chapter 16's true revelation. That matters. How many people practice the way of the cross. So tonight, I think this is the burden I share, or force a little bit off from the notes you have. Okay, you can read the notes, it's pretty complete. But I think for us to know the church, you have to know the truth. And then you will see, after that, you will see how Paul tells us about church. And then after that, you will see how John, apostle, tells about church. You can read it by yourself. But my burden tonight is tell you how Jesus reviewed the reality of the church. From chapter 16 and chapter 18. I think with Jesus' definition, is the most concise, and all the apostles build upon that principle. Paul will have his version, and John has his version, but all about the same core. The core value cannot be changed because they are the truth. So, any question? How church build up? In other words, two or three come together, that's a minimum. And then how to grow from two or three to multiples, like the church in Jerusalem. Jerusalem first in the beginning was 120. And then turn into 3,000. And then turn into 8,000. That growth, how could that be possible? You will see. Because they have the first 120 true disciples, they experience Jesus firsthand. They receive the revelation firsthand. And then God pour the Holy Spirit upon them. They receive power. And then through the power of Holy Spirit and the testimony of Jesus, and then this carry out. That attract more and more people. So in other words, once people receive the revelation,
receive the Holy Spirit, and then they execute that revelation. There are truth being proclaimed. And the Holy Spirit witness that, give them power, influence, attract. Thousands of people come to the Lord. So, did they do anything by themselves? No. They did it all through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you will see, once they love Jerusalem too much, they really breaking bread daily, listen to the message, they meet every day. They really have good time. They don't want to leave. When you have a good time, you don't want to leave, right? So they gather about 7 years. They really feel heaven is on earth. This every day, you enjoy a meal together, you listen message together, you pray together, you break bread together. Wow, what a life! And God finally said, get out, because my command is from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world. But they said, no, let's enjoy Jerusalem. God said, finally, through persecution, send them out. Okay. So this gospel was forced to get out. So for church, we have two options. Either do it according to the Lord's command willingly, or you do according to the God's will by force out. So, 敬酒不吃,吃罚酒. One way or the other, Jesus' command should be carried out all the way from Jerusalem to the end of the world. So that's the whole story of Book of Acts. So I think for the growth of the church, it is just follow King's command and everything he carried. Because the bottom line is what? Who built the church? Jesus. We are a vessel. You just put your vessel into Master's hand. He will use you to carry the mission. Right? Wherever Jesus leads you, just be available, do his God, his truth, and things will happen. You read the whole story. Things happen just when you get there. You know, once Peter get there, Holy Spirit came down. Once Paul get there, Holy Spirit came down. It doesn't matter where they go. See? They just follow. Go one place to another place. You know, that's the way to expand the kingdom. Isn't that exciting? Have you experienced that? Oh, that's where the missing part. All past 20 years, I witnessed that. It's really exciting. Not I can do anything. Just follow the command. Go, go, go. And then things happen. Boom, boom, boom. Did I do it? I didn't do it. But Holy Spirit used the tool to do it, to do the job. And you will see people just come to the truth, to Jesus. Nothing can compare with that anymore. Anything you do in this world cannot be so excited. So, it's a wonderful thing, you know. Try it. It's 痛快. Painful and joyful. 痛快. That's the best word, two words can describe the serving God. 痛快. On one hand, it's really painful. Extremely. Physically as well as mentally. But on the other hand, it's extremely joyful. Because you see what? Growth. Life. New life. Growth. In people. Nothing more exciting than that. You know, that's called the joy of serving God's will. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we worship you because you proclaim to us that you will build your church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. How wonderful that proclamation is. Lord, may your children, our eyes can be opened like Peter's and those disciples, their eyes were opened by you, by the revelation from the Heavenly Father, so that they walk the narrow way, so that you use them as the channels of blessing, the heaven on earth. Lord, the world cannot give us any joy, true joy. They can give us all the material, all the riches of the world, but all end up in death and in sin and in pain. But only you bring us the true meaning of life. Lord, we worship you. We want to thank you for giving us such a great gift. That's your Son, the King, the true King, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on us, on earth, and on us, among us, as it is in heaven. Although people around deny you, even Christians deny you, but we want to welcome you to rule in our lives. And may you get more true disciples to serve in this last generation, so that this testimony of Jesus can be proclaimed throughout the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.